Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dan Marino.
Hi, this is Larry Zonka.
Hi, I'm Zach Thomas of the Miami Dolphins.
This is Mark Super Duper.
I'm John Offerdahl.
This is Paul Warfield.
Hi, this is Nick Bonacani.
This is Jake Scott.
Gary Apremian.
Dick Anderson.
Larry Little.
Mercury Morris.
Tom Vigorito.
This is Don Strachan.
Don Nottingham.
Hey, this is A.J. Dewey.
Otto Stowe. Mike Colon.
Doug Kerzan for the 1972 undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This is Marlon the Magician Briscoe.
This is Mark Ingram.
And Jim Crash Jensen.
This is Don Shula. And I listen to the Pat Cotillo Show.
It's the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Cotillo. Join us now as we talk Dolphins football or call in live with your questions or comments. And now, here's your host, Pat Cotillo.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Cotillo. And I will be joined alongside Rich Van Zant as we come to another week, week six, as the Miami Dolphins' downfall continues. A bad loss at home to the Minnesota Vikings, and they now bring their record to 500. We're so used to saying they get their record to 500 in the past. Well, this time they've started off on fire, and it's just been a slow downhill since then, and now they go down from 3-0 to 3-3, and we'll get more into that and the ramifications of it. But Dolphins lose to the Vikings in a pretty I wouldn't say it was competitive, certainly, but definitely a deflating loss, 24-16, and I think that you can make arguments of, how it was a winnable game, certainly. But for the most part, Minnesota had the upper hand throughout the entire game. So let's go through the stat line as always. And might be a bit deceiving, but Teddy Bridgewater, 23 for 34. He had 329 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Skylar Thompson did start the game. He went 7 for 13, 89 yards, no picks, no interceptions. And for the third week in a row now, the starting quarterback of the Miami Dolphins has been knocked out of the game. As Tua started the downhill trend, obviously, in Cincinnati, Teddy Bridgewater with his first snap up in New York against the Jets, and now Skylar Thompson injures his thumb. Gets cut as well and does not return. So Teddy Bridgewater took over the game, as you know. Leading rusher was Raheem Mostert, 14 for 49. There was some decent yardage in the air, and as I said, maybe a little deceptive because it was a lot of catch-up and then maybe even some garbage time trying to catch up. But Tyreek Hill had 12 receptions for 177 yards, so he continues to pile on the yardage in a big way. Jalen Waddle, 6 for 129, not his best day, as there was some memorable drops, and of course there was the fumble, which was ultimately, I think, the game changer, which could not be overtaken after that. And then Gesicki also had six catches for 69 yards, and he had two touchdowns and one horrible touchdown dance, as you know. So that's the stat line from the Miami Dolphins side. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins was 20 for 30, 175, two touchdowns, no picks. Rushing-wise, Dalvin Cook led the Vikings 13 for 77. He had the one touchdown. And then, of course, the superstar, Justin Jefferson, six catches, 107 yards. And Adam Thielen, I'll mention, because he had four for 36, but he did have the one touchdown. So that's how that all played out. Basically the Miami Dolphins went from dominating the division to I would say, standing in last place without the exception of a tiebreaker on the Patriots, who are also playing well along with everybody else. So, Rich, also I guess I should mention downside, Nick Needham. It did turn out to be a torn ACL, so we'll lose him. And, Rich, as you said, not for the year, for a year. So that is a devastating injury, to say the least. And Tua, who was cleared, has now become completely cleared, and he will be projected to start next week against the Steelers on Sunday night. So, you know, Rich, not a lot of good things going on in Miami, and it seems like the trend is continuing to go downhill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're one of the only teams that never can win with our backup quarterback, it seems, right? It's always an issue, no matter who it is.
Ironic. I just want to stop you. It's ironic, too, right? Because we probably have the greatest winning with a backup quarterback in our history, obviously. Yeah. But you're right, and certainly after that and in recent times, not a lot of success with the backup quarterback.
It's been terrible. And then, you know, we were in that game again, you know, and the Waddle fumble was the killer there. But, I mean, I think we really shot ourselves in the foot when we had those five penalties on that one drive. We kept getting down, you know, inside the red zone and kept getting pushed backwards. It was like, what was it, like six penalties in seven plays or something like that?
Yeah, I didn't point out, but that's a great point. Just extreme amount of penalties throughout the entire game, and there was that one stretch, like you said, which was just seemed like every play was just a penalty and backing up, and a lot of it on the offensive line, obviously.
Again, I looked at that one crusher again, the illegal man downfield thing.
Yeah,
that was really weird. First of all, he didn't even really hit anybody. Second of all, it had nothing to do with the play.
No.
It wasn't even close to where the play was. And he really was. He was only like 4 yards downfield. He wasn't like he was blocking for somebody. I mean, it really
was a very strange call. It really was. It was a very strange call. And it was a very quick play. So, I mean, I don't know how far down he could have even been anyway. It was such a quick play.
I know. It was like a 2 second drop back gone.
I know.
Ball was gone. Reception is made, and then you see the penalty, and then the center, it looked like he had no one to block, so he just went down to get a linebacker and didn't really miss the look like. I don't know. It just, that seemed a little weak. You know.
I think it was weak. And there's been some weird penalties this year, obviously, in the league. This goes in a different category, but definitely a weak penalty that disrupted a Dolphins offensive drive, to say the least. And it just seemed like these penalties. Yeah, they just seemed like they could not get cohesiveness. It was a big turning point as far as taking momentum of the game, for sure. And, you know, but it's just something that we have to deal with. The offensive line has shown, you know, there's been problems with it. This offensive line has been really bad, and I don't mean this particular because obviously it's a different group, but the Dolphins offensive line in the past few years has not been great. We know that. This is better maybe in a lot of ways than some of them, but still there's certain guys on there, and I understand that there are injuries that are causing them, but Liam Eichenberg has not been playing well at all, and to be quite honest with you, Greg Little is not really looking like he's, you know, ready to handle that amount of responsibility as well. So we'll wait and see. You know, hopefully Armstead, we get him back, you know, soon. And, you know, Austin, you know, Jackson, we hope that, you know, these guys can come back and solidify that. But for the time being, those two guys seem like they've been pointed out, I guess, as maybe the weak links.
Yeah, I would think so. And, you know, those, you know, like you said, those are our two best players on the offensive line. So when you're missing those two, of not a great offensive, you know, line to begin with, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
You know,
there's been a lot of criticism of
spending money on this over the last 10 years, that's for sure. We should have the Oscar at this point. You know?
They have gone out. Yeah. A couple things I'll point out. I think there's been a lot of criticism of Connor Williams at center, and I don't think it's fair. I think he's been playing very, you know, it's solid. I really do. I don't see a problem there. I'm happy at this point where his progress is you know, at that position. And there's also been a lot of talk that Eichenberg is not really placed in the right position, that he's really a guard. I mean, really a tackle. And they've got him playing at guard. I don't know where you fit into that conversation. But, you know, I have heard that in quite a large capacity that, you know, he's not in, in a comfortable state, that, you know, he's basically a tackle. And I don't know, which is a little bit strange in a sense, because obviously tackle is a tougher position as far as, you know, bigger pass rush. But he, maybe he's not as fast to handle, you know, the guard position. But I don't really see the problem necessarily on running plays. Like, I can see maybe if he wasn't getting to his point on running plays as a guard. But it seems like it's more on the pass rush. So is he not picking up stunts? I don't know. I don't really know if I buy into that. But I have heard that criticism a lot, especially in the last few weeks. I don't know if you have and what you feel on it.
We're the king of, you know, changing people's positions. You know that. You know, they love
true.
Doing that. This organization's been doing that for 20 years. Never
that's
seems
true.
To work, but they keep doing it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, it certainly is true.
I think the only one who was successful was Jim Jensen. Third-string quarterback, the special teams guru, and the slot receiver. I think that was the only one that ever worked.
Yeah, I mean, they do like to do that quite a bit, like you said. And, you know, it's weird because, you know, they do it so much, even in, you know, wide receiver and stuff. They're doing it now, trying to move guys to, you know, tight end. Connor Tanner is not, you know, I don't think looking like maybe the immediate impact there that they thought they were going to get. And Hunter Long is certainly not lived up to maybe what they had thought there. So, yeah, but they do love to do that. But the thing that I don't understand so much is that they draft people to change them. It's one thing when, you know, you have
– I love it.
Yeah, that's the strange part.
It's it's a high draft pick usually. It's not like it's like, not like a 6th or 7th round pick that you're going to take a shot at. I think this guy may be a good receiver. They like drafting the 2nd or 3rd round to try this stuff, you know?
The Tannenbaum era love to do that. They just love to do that. And it was, like you said, not like low round picks or free agents. I mean, we're talking like high picks with the intention immediately off the bat of swapping that up. So I thought that was kind of, you know, a little strange. Also, I guess I should throw out, I think I know where you stand, but the Dolphins this week were given an A grade on some, I think it might have even been an A, I don't know if it was A+, but an A grade on defense for this game. I thought that
really?
They did definitely have moments, you know, you hold – but, you know, I didn't see it as that, and I'm sure you, you know, with your criticism didn't as well, correct?
Well, right. They must have missed that 75-yard run to ice the game for the Vikings, huh? I guess they didn't see that one, whoever was grading it. And I guess they missed Xavier and Howard 10 yards off the touchdown, you know, chasing him like he looked like Elvis Toast Patterson on that play.
Right.
I guess they missed those two.
Now, you know, the one thing I'll say, which is kind of strange with the Dolphins, have you noticed that the Dolphins, they don't make changes based on necessarily their top talent? And what I mean by that is when Xavier Howard got hurt, right, Noah Igbinoghene is listed, I think he's the 2nd left corner on the depth chart. And rather than when he's out, rather than make changes, whereas you would have Kohu, who's playing fantastic, and then Eric Rowe, you know, who backs up him now, instead of seeing that in the mix, they'll just move Noah into the Xavier Howard role. And I think that was really exposed in that Jet game doing that. Well, I guess my point is I think there's maybe better corners that don't play on that side, which is strange that, you know, you wouldn't mix and match that maybe a little bit better because Noah has certainly had his problems.
Well, forget about the side. Like put the better corner on the better receiver. You know what I mean? Like, you know, go play by play and who's lining up where and move it around that way. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
you know,
yes, but I think they do.
You dictate, you know?
But I think they do kind of do that and just kind of go down with that you know, like if Xavier Howard was going to be matched up against them, that would be the receiver anyway.
I guess so. You know, I've been very I think we were listed last week. We were listed 28th in run and 29th in pass. That's just a long way away from being one of the best defenses in the league, huh?
No, for sure. I mean, I think they did probably enough to win that game last week, but we've went over that and why that didn't happen, and probably enough this week. Again, I mean, you were looking at a Waddle fumble from taking the lead. It was a very similar situation, right? And and yet the offense couldn't do it. So I think they've been doing enough to maybe keep them afloat. They certainly this week I have to say they did get more turnovers and pressure and sacks than they have. It's been non-existent before this week, non-existent, which is a big difference from last year. What do we have? We had the one fumble, and I don't think we had any interceptions.
No, we didn't have any picks. No.
So
we had two. We gave them two picks. So we were definitely in the negative turnover wise.
Yeah. Irv Smith, I think, fumbled. But we did not get – we did get pressure, though, that we hadn't got maybe in a little bit. But, it's a lot better than it has been. Week one, Xavier Howard had that big turnover, that big interception he caused with the Patriots. But it's been downhill after that. There really hasn't been that much.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is a big factor.
Look, the main problem in the last 3 weeks is Tua not being in there. It's not like, it's not like it's a big mystery. I mean, I'm not saying we would have won all three games, but we wouldn't have lost all three either, defense is not playing great. We understand that. But, again, the major problem with the team is behind center. Bridgewater, his numbers looked good yesterday, but, he didn't come through when you needed him to.
Yeah, I don't know if you could put that one on him, though. This one, I don't know, Rich.
I'm not saying.
But I think he did in this game. I mean, he had Waddle. That was a perfect pass to Waddle.
That were terrible.
He had the two picks. But I think he was
He got sacked too many times. He's like, his pocket presence is pathetic. I mean, it seems like, he's getting rushed, and, he does that spin-around move, and he just spins into somebody else.
I
just don't think he's a good pocket guy.
It's not a great pocket guy.
He's not moving the pocket. It seems like he gets sacked so easily.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I don't know if I saw that yesterday. I mean, he did.
He did that spin twice, where he just spun into another guy. Instead of rolling out of the pocket.
Didn't have a lot of time there. I don't know if you can really pin. I think he did okay. I think he was fine yesterday. I mean, he put up, 300.
Yeah, those numbers were running out. It was garbage time too, dude.
They were, but they weren't, because that drive at the end, was pretty big. I mean, they were on the verge of taking the lead again. Like, when Waddle catches that pass, it was a perfect pass.
Yeah.
I mean, so he did some pretty good things there. He played better than I thought he was going to. How about that? I'll just say that. I thought he played much better than I had seen him play, and he played well enough for them to win that game. I'm not pinning that one on him.
There's no question about it. I mean, but like I said, the two turnovers and his two picks were bad. I mean, obviously the Waddle fumble was horrible, but, he's trying to make a play. And the guy comes in and punches the ball out. I mean, there's really not a whole lot you can do about that,
Yeah, I didn't really see it as that. I just think it kind of got loose.
He was trying to turn upfield, trying to get extra yards, and, the guy came in and punched it out. I mean, it's not like – it wasn't like a fumble like him. It was caused by the defender. It was a great play about a defender.
Yeah, but either way, we're talking about the Bridgewater aspect of it, and
I think he
was fine at that point.
But I said his two big interceptions were bad, though. I mean, those were crushers.
Yeah. All right, quick break. We'll be right back after this.
When the autumn mist is drawing near, and you hear the whistle sound and the crowd cheer, you'll know it's that special time once again for head-to-head combat and first and ten. So follow those that are in the know and listen to Pat and Rich and the Legends Show. All episodes of the Pat Catello Show available now on iTunes.
Hi, this is Mercury Morris. You're listening to the Pat Catello Show.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. He recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Catello.
No matter which way you go, no matter which way you stay, you're out of my mind, out of my mind, out of my mind, out of my mind. I was walking with the ghost.
Welcome back to Miami Dolphins Legend Show. I'm your host, Pat Catello, joined alongside Rich Van Zandt. And as usual, we'll take you up to the Monday night game tonight. The Broncos are at the Chargers. And just a reminder, you can catch all our episodes right on iTunes. Just go right to the iTunes store and subscribe, and they'll get delivered right on your phone when the latest ones are there. Send us any questions or comments. PatCatelloShow@yahoo.com. Rich, is it me, or does it seem like the Broncos play every Monday and Sunday night? How many times does this team play? Am I wrong? No, I'm like, I'm kidding, but I'm kind of not.
Sunday night game. No, it's week six, and they've been on 50% of the time on a national basis. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so, well, strange. It's definitely strange. You know, we talked about the Dolphins and their woes. Well, there's one other woe that, and it kind of ties into a lot of what I was talking about earlier, and it was two pivotal times. And what I'm talking about is the fact that this entire division is playing fantastic football right now, entirely but us. And the Dolphins right now have went from being solo first place after a huge win against the Buffalo Bills to now basically in last place, with the exception of a division of a tiebreaker, which means nothing at this point, from being, you know, alone in last place, and we'll see where it goes. But Buffalo, I said, was really shaken up by our loss, and they were on the verge of, I think, really going on a slide, and somehow found a way to beat the Ravens and come back. They had that game, they lost, and they were in trouble, and now that catapulted them, and now a huge victory out in Kansas City. They're the best team in football, I think, right now. Now, a lot of that can change, and I'm not saying they can't be beat, but they're the best team in football right now. And New England was a similar situation. I think that they were primed to really, you know, go whatever it was, 0-3 or whatever it was, and then they found a way to beat Baltimore. They found a way to beat Pittsburgh with a third-string quarterback. And then, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, these teams laying eggs against them. Just ridiculous. Cleveland, now they beat them. So they're on a roll. And the Jets, I mean, need I say any more? They're, you know, the Jets losing in Cleveland have this – half a miraculous comeback, and now they're just on a roll too. They beat us, and they continue it going forward now, going out to Green Bay, and your buddy Sauce Gardner leading the Rookie of the Year votes as he's wearing cheese hats now and just making a name for himself ever since you called him out in the pregame before the Jets game. So not looking pretty in the AFC East.
No, can the Ravens ever hold a lead against anybody? I mean,
I've never seen a team blow so many huge leads in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That team cannot hold the lead. I mean, we thought we were the exception. Obviously, ours was the biggest one around, but there's been a lot of them after that are certainly monumental as well. I don't know what that's all about.
If I would have told you 2 weeks ago that the Green Bay Packers were going to go to London and lose to the Giants and then come home to Lambeau and lose to the Jets, what would you say? What hospital is Aaron Rodgers in? Right,
yeah. That's a good point. And, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, it's him and Brady just seem like they're not themselves this year, even in the press conferences. I mean, Rodgers looks like he's just, in another world, basically. I don't know if you've caught any of his press conferences.
Did you see him on the sidelines yesterday?
I seen the eruption.
Yeah.
And then
I hear he wasn't there for the walkthrough on Saturday. He took that Wednesday off or whatever he does, and he was somewhere else, and he wouldn't tell anybody where he was. And it's like they're like a lot of the teammates don't think he's there mentally. Like he's just between what's going on in personal life, and he goes to watch his kid play football every week.
Yeah.
It's like he's not really there. No matter how good you are, you just can't mail it in, I guess, in this league,
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks like there's distractions there for sure. I mean, we know what's going on. So, there's obviously stuff going on there. I don't know what's going on Aaron Rodgers-wise, though,
Is it just Devontae Adams?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously he's a huge piece of that receiving core that he lost, but I don't know. A lot of these teams, I mean, if I told you right now that the New York Giants would be 6-1 and not leading the division because the Philadelphia Eagles were undefeated, I think you'd say the same thing. I mean, it's insane.
That's crazy.
It really is. And, and then the New York Jets, are playing pretty good football right now. As much as I hate to say it, they're playing good football. They're getting turnovers, and they're playing very, fundamentally sound football. They're running the ball. They're, Zach Wilson, when you see Zach Wilson, with Aaron Rodgers at the end of the game,
Zach Wilson. He had 115 yards passing yesterday.
Rich, that's more important, though.
I got you.
Teddy Bridgewater had 329 yards. I mean, that's my point.
That, but you're not
going to
win.
You can't have
you're not going to win with 115. No, you're not going to win, constantly with that, though. That's my point. You know what I mean?
Yes and no. I mean, you can't have both sides of it.
There's a lot more times you can have gaudy stats and lose than have little stats and win. But the gaudy stats when you lose are garbage time a lot. So you can't just look at that. But, when you have under 150, you're not usually going to be on the winning side of the coin there.
No, probably, but probably more so than you think. But, I understand what you're saying. But,
you got under 150 yards, you're game managing. You're not.
But isn't
really
that what you kind of want, though? I mean, I hear that term
in this league, look, the offense has started off very stale all over the league this year. The unders has been coming in like crazy. And I think that's got a lot to do with the way they run preseason now, when nobody plays in the preseason games, plus they're babying them through the training camp. It's a different story right now. And I think that's why you're getting stale offenses. But again, I think there's a carryover still. Yeah, I think
week
so.
Week six, though? Week six?
And look at the scores, dude. I mean, you're almost a halftime.
I got you, but week six?
There was five games.
Still coming
zero,
back to
zero.
That?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How, though? I mean, you played a couple preseason games. You're in week six now. It's eight games. I mean, that's still – I understand what you're saying at the beginning of the year. Yeah. I mean, I would have thought that would be, you know, kicked in.
You would think so, but it's not showing up on the stat sheet, you know?
It's not showing up on the stat sheet. I'm just not 100% sold that's why it's not.
So what's the reason? You're not telling
me
like a great defensive league. It's not.
Well, I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of new teams and philosophies that are much more basic. You know, I mean, as great as the quarterbacks have been running the league, I think they still are, but they're, you know, maybe the younger guys, right? I mean, Rodgers and Brady are having an off statistical year. And if you look around at the other quarterbacks, I don't know. I mean, there's that many great ones. Like, we're talking about the Giants and we're talking about the Jets. So you got Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, right? I mean, those guys, you really, those kind of dominant passers? No. And I think the league is filled with a lot more of them than they are, you know, the tremendous ones. There's also been a lot of shifting of teams, a lot of player shifting. There has been that. So, you know, maybe there's something to that of not getting in a rhythm. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I don't necessarily think there is a concrete answer to it, but offensive's not dominated.
Something's off, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just think teams, you know, the league catches up with itself a little bit. I mean, there's not that many high-powered offenses, but the high-powered offenses that there are still showing up for the most part. I mean, Baltimore even has put up numbers. They just can't hold anybody. I mean, they're losing 21-point leads in the fourth quarter. It's insane.
Well, I'll tell you, what I've seen this year, too, more than ever, and, you know, I know people have been complaining about this, some of these coaches' decisions on the two-point plays and going for it on fourth early in the game. And I mean, I've seen some absolutely idiotic decisions made by these guys. I mean, can you get any worse than Andy Reid last week when he goes for two to go up by nine instead of kicking the extra point and going up by eight?
Well, I didn't see that, but I was watching a game with you
Andy Reid last week. It wasn't yesterday. It was it was last week's game. It was when they play the Raiders Thursday, Kansas City. No, they played last Monday night, right? No.
Yeah.
Sunday night maybe it was. So anyway. He goes for a two instead of kicking the extra point to go up by eight, like, you know, late in the fourth quarter. So they miss it. Now he's up by seven. So then the Raiders come down, score a touchdown, and instead of tying the game and playing for overtime, they go for a two to go up a point, and they miss it and lose by a point. I you can't make it up. Just kick an extra point and go to overtime, and they go for two and miss that.
Well, I watched that. Yeah, I watched that game with you. I watched that game with you, and it was, you know, it was very strange. Like you said, I didn't really understand. He went to go for two to put the game to bed. He went to try to go up by nine to end it, and he missed that.
But you're going to go up by eight to make it difficult, right? So they have to get
two. Well, they were already would have been up by eight. Yeah, I mean, they would have been up by eight. He went to go for nine to end it. And it failed at that. And it gave the Raiders another shot. Yeah, I thought that was strange.
Right.
But I thought that was even more strange. Like, I understand putting the game to bed, especially with the way guys have come back. I thought it was strange when Reed did that, too. But I thought that I could understand that, of just wanting to put the nail in the coffin at that point, with the way that things have turned in the fourth quarter. No, I don't think I would do it. No, I wouldn't. I'm not saying I would, but I understand the reasoning. But like you said, then the Raiders got a gift and they gave it right back. That was even more bizarre to me.
That was more bizarre. It was 100%.
Yeah, it was insane. And you're right. I have noticed so many of these coaches are just basically putting things.
Well, we got that garbage touchdown late, and then we were down. You know, we could have been down by, you know, 7. He goes for 2, which I don't understand that one.
Yeah. A lot of strange coaching maneuvers, for sure.
Yeah.
There really have been. And I haven't been watching them a lot, but if you remember last year, the San Diego Chargers coach went for every fourth down he could get his hand on and didn't make it. And then this year, he's been as conservative as can be this year.
And they're still losing.
It's crazy. Yeah, they're still losing. No doubt. It's a lot of, and I think when you talk about the offense, I mean, that's probably a team that you bring up, and we'll see what happens tonight. But those two teams, offensively have just been not performing anywhere near where they supposed to or forecasted to, especially the Chargers, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been pretty bad.
It's a unusual season to say the least, but it is very early, and when we talk of a lot of people say, well, there's a lot of season left. Well, there is, and you'll certainly find out now, because the Dolphins are in a strange stretch right now, because they are finding themselves in a bad spot, and then they have the weak part of their schedule is coming up now. Now you have a Sunday night game against the Steelers, who they never play great against, and now the Steelers, you need them to win. They lay eggs left and right, and then they somehow beat the Buccaneers now, with Trubisky coming in and beating Brady.
Well, you know what happened yesterday? What happened with Pickett? Remember, we couldn't figure out what happened with him?
Well, I think he got a concussion.
But supposedly he didn't have one. It was the spotter says he had one. Like, he supposedly passed every test that they went, but the spotter said he can't come back, and he couldn't come back. So that's another one.
Yeah, well, that's the norm. That's the norm now. Bridgewater had the same thing, right?
That's
from the Dolphins. That's now the new rule that stemmed from the Dolphins that I think you're going to see a lot. I will say one thing, though. Did you notice the Dolphins' offensive lineman? He got his bell rung so hard he didn't know where he was, and no spotter called him off the field. It seems like it's definitely at a specialized positions. They're looking. I think they're looking more at the specialty positions. I really do, because I seen that and I.
I'm trying to think what receiver said it. He goes, this is a league that's more concerned if your socks are up than if your head's like.
Well, it used to be. Well, it definitely used to be.
Yeah.
I definitely used to be, and to be quite honest with you, I had that job for a little bit of monitoring the uniforms and the sneakers, and it's not that fun because the players don't take too kindly of that. But you're right. It used to be a lot more of that. I mean, I would have to go around and flag people that weren't wearing. If you're wearing, you had to have a Nike contract to wear Nike, and basically I have to point it out, and then I have to cover it up myself. So I got to double whammy. I got to then take the special paint and cover up the Nike logo and make some. But anyhow, it used to be like that, and now it seems like it's. Coming a little too, and I guess it's going to level off at some point. But where Tua stands in all this, we will see. Because obviously, this guy is going to have a magnifying glass on him for the entire season. Every hit this guy takes, so we'll see. Again, he's coming back. And what's he coming back on? He's coming back on national TV. So he's got a Sunday night game now. Yeah, with the whole nation watching. So on that thought, let's take our last break. We're going to discuss the steel game. Let's take a quick break, Rich. We'll come back to it. Quick break.
Hi, this is Tom Vigorito, former Miami Dolphin, and you're listening to the Miami Dolphin Legend Show with Pat Catello.
You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with Pat Catello, sponsored by Don Nottingham Associates Insurance. Don Nottingham formed Don Nottingham Associates Insurance in 1975 while playing for the Miami Dolphins. he recognized the need to prepare for life after football. For all your insurance needs, call 352-307-6736 or visit online at donnottinghamins.com. Now, back to the Miami Dolphins Legend Show with your host, Pat Cotello.
Well, it's still racing down the trestles, but that blood had never burned in her veins. Now here she's got a house up in Fairview, in a style she's trying to maintain.
Okay, welcome back to Miami Dolphins Legend Show. Come to the final stretch here. Pat Cotello, Rich Van Zant will bring you home to this Monday night football game. And I had to put Rich in the cage because he so anticipated this Steeler game. I couldn't shut him up for the break. So go ahead, Rich. What are you going to say now?
Has there been any talk about Tua, you know, changing helmets?
I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't.
But
I mean,
are they too afraid to promote like an anti-concussion helmet anymore because of the lawsuits? Is that what it is, you think? Because supposed to have someone with technology that you can plug in and monitor his head, and it tells you if it's a bad hit or not a hit. Remember that weapon, that thing?
Well, I know that there was I had heard some talk about that, but I think that was just basically, I don't know that ever came to fruition or it was any more than, you know, they were doing, you know, experimenting with things like that. I don't know exactly, you know, what's out there. I mean, you see so many different helmets, right? I mean, there's just, it's ridiculous. Like the Zeke Elliott helmet that you always make fun of.
Knievel helmet. I don't want that one on him, you know?
And then, I had not heard anything on the on him changing his helmet in any way. I'm open to it. I just think it's the kind of thing where it seems as though he has not had necessarily problems passing the protocol, even from right after, but that doesn't seem to matter. And, for example of that is, and I said to you, you know, what was the reason Teddy Bridgewater didn't start? And the only reason, and I think Damon had maybe said to me, he says, because he wasn't cleared until Thursday, so you basically got an extra day or two, you know, of practice in, you know. It didn't seem like he had failed any protocols just like Kenny Pickett, right? And then he obviously...
Well, he never had a... let's be honest. I mean, Bridgewater really never had a concussion. He just got called up on the spotter, and he passed it at the game. He passed it, you know, he passed it all week. But he still had to be in that protocol because of that new rule. So, yeah, he didn't get to practice until Thursday, so that's why they weren't going to go with him.
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing's nuts. Something has to be done, but they went too far, I think. You know, I think it was just I've never seen anything be implemented immediately like this in my life, you know?
Rich, is very similar to the same problem they had in 2020 with COVID. I mean, they're basically walking on eggshells now, again, for an entire season. And into the Super Bowl. When we talked about then, what's going to happen if one of these main guys gets COVID right before the Super Bowl or before a big thing? What happens if Brady gets... And I think that was a huge fear in the league, going all the way up
and
into that,
the bad
right?
part about that was some of these guys were tested positive with no symptoms and no illness themselves, and they were still being banned. you know, which is
because I think
totally crazy.
Because I think you got, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, we talked about that last year, and so we're not going to get into it again, but, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? If somebody's testing positive, regardless of symptoms, you can't really throw them in the mix with everybody else. So it was, and I think there was a lot of, like, let's not test. It was kind of, it was a strange thing, but this is the same situation now where I think they're very worried about this concussion part of it coming to fruition in a key pivotal game. And what they're going to do about it. And I think it's still on us. It's the flagship team.
It depends who it is. You know? Let me see them take a superstar out of a game in a big spot. You know? Do they have the nuts to do that? If you pass the concussion protocol, you're going to tell me the guy sitting in the press box with binoculars is going to make that call? I don't buy it.
Well, that's what I just said. So, I mean,
I don't think it'll come to that. You're not right. You know, they're going to, like I said, you know, a high-profile guy, you know, I always go back to the two that are there right now, the old guys, Rodgers and Brady. There's no way they're pulling them out of a huge game for that. I don't see it.
But I think it's ironic that the game he gets cleared for now is going to be on national TV again, in the entire nation. What's that?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect anything different.
No, and the entire country now is going to be watching this for that reason. And you really—it's a no-win situation. And
I feel if we make it through the first series, we should be okay. If something happens, it's going to happen early. That's my prediction.
Why? Didn't happen that quick.
That's our luck. You know, if it happens, it's gonna happen like Bridgewater. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm as interested to see as anybody else. I think it's gonna come down to when he takes the hit, and there's gonna be the hit. I mean, you're not gonna play professional football without, especially at his level and the way he plays. I could see Tom Brady maybe being able to avoid the head hit, unless it was a penalty, right? Because
not a call either. So he's
no. That's what I mean. Everything about it, you know, it goes against him. You know, he's not a tall, so he's got to use much more, you know, physical attributes to create things. You know, he doesn't know. He's not a great play maker and decision maker. He doesn't end plays well, you know.
He holds on to it too long. That's what it is, you know.
I mean, that's not going
to
change overnight. There's going to be a hit. It's
going to
happen, and, you know, you just...
And we're going against a dirty team, especially dirty against us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's at the top of the list. I think that the Buffalo, ironically, I think the two teams that he played are up at the top of the list. Maybe with that, certainly Buffalo.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah, he and then Cincinnati had their fair share.
Don't forget the Ricky Williams stomp on the chest play.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know, you know, how much of that factors in to this team, but that was as dirty as it gets. Who was that? Tiercy?
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you're correct. The Pittsburgh Steelers have never been a non-physical team, right? Since the 1970s. I mean, this team is, you know, they're going to come to hit. And it's a concern. There's no doubt it's a concern. So he will be thrown onto the spotlight again. And that's, you know, before we even, you know, get past that, it's also a huge game now for the Dolphins. I mean, they can't afford. You have Pittsburgh and then I think Detroit and Chicago. I mean, you know, every game is tough in this league. But you would think you need to right the ship then because it's going to get tougher.
Yeah, you know, this is a five-game stretch where you can win all five if you play your game. But, you know, if they keep losing, they're not going to, you know, it's going to get worse. You know,
I mean, if you would have told me they were going,
once you start trying to hold that boulder up on the hill, it's going to start rolling down, and you can't stop it. You know, you don't want to get
into that mode. If you took the first six games,
yeah.
If you picked the first six games, Rich, and I told you we're going 3-3, I guarantee you wouldn't have picked the 3-3. I know I certainly wouldn't have.
Hell,
I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. So, you know, you really can't, and the whole league has been indicative of this, too. I mean, it's becoming more and more where any team could beat any team. And, you know, I don't dislike that much. I mean, I'm okay with that for the most part. But it's at a high level of that right now.
Yeah. And let's not you know, go for it. You know, we're going to have this segment every week. Let's the Sanders miss kick every week. You know, it's another big miss yesterday because that led the points the other way again. And, you know, it was a close game at that point when he shanked out. You know, he is just a pain in the neck.
Yeah, like he's a good kicker, but he's not reliable enough in big spots, and he's certainly not a great kicker. And I don't know where that leaves you. Like, I don't know what you could do with something like that at this point in the year. I really don't, because I don't think there's, you know, Matt Barr is not floating around. You know what I mean? I don't know who you get.
I got you. Yeah, there has to be somebody, though, you know?
I don't know if there's somebody that's going to be at his level.
I don't know,
level.
If you make the move, but I think you should bring somebody in to put a fire under him, you know
Does
what I mean?
Does that ever really
to
work, though? I mean, these guys are so mentally sensitive. That really?
Does, though.
Really, though?
Yeah,
it does.
So.
You tell me an instance where a struggling kicker got more mental pressure on him and performed. That doesn't work. That never works. I mean, you're just going to be putting more fuel in the fire. You really can't do that. You know, it's one thing to be complacent. I don't think he's anywhere near that. I don't see how that works. I mean, it just seems like an idiotic move to just pressure him by bringing somebody else in for 4 days. I mean, you can't keep him on the roster. What are you going to do? You're going to bring somebody in to put a spark up his behind for 4 days? That's going to help
him? Yeah, but you have a trial. You make sure that he sees it. You know what I mean? Have three guys in a kickoff, and then, you know what I mean? Just see what happens. That's all. You know? There's a hell of a lot of colleges out there, and everybody had a kicker. There's got to be somebody in there that can do this. You know,
I'm not saying there's not, but
there's got to be somebody, dude.
Are kickers, but, you know, make a move like that. I mean, I don't know. I don't see that as it's aggravating now.
This guy's not exactly on Stutterroot here. You know what I mean? We don't care about his psyche. Could it get worse? The guy
missed
actually points.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm telling you, there's got to be somebody out there on the street that's better.
You grew up in the tough love corner, did you?
It's the law of averages, though. Seriously, though. You know?
Come on.
There's got to be somebody better than that guy.
If you want to bring somebody in better, then you bring somebody in better. But if your intention is to bring somebody in just to mentally challenge this man to kick better, I don't think that's the solution. If you want to replace him, fine.
It would make me feel better if they brought somebody
I'm sure that's their intention.
I'm discussing with the Sanders.
I can, but I know a lot of people whose intention is to make you feel worse. So I don't think I don't think they're looking to make you feel better either. There's a long line of people, and they're going the opposite direction.
And how's it working out for them?
Not so well. We'll see what the future brings, but so far, not so well. Oh, man. And by the way, we have somebody else returning Sunday night.
Who's that?
The captain of the ship.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Ross, huh? Oh, great. What's he going to screw up?
But don't think for a second. I mean,
the concessions.
But you don't think for a second that wasn't planned out, do you? I mean, where's he coming back now? Coming back to face Flores and the Steelers.
and alumni night.
Yeah, I know. Right. It's so transparent, right?
the man tampered with Brady and a coach, two tamperings, right? And then he's accused of what they covered up for him, trying to tank games to get a better draft pick to get Burrows that he just learned about a week before that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That he just learned about.
He had no idea who this Burrows was when he was at Ohio State. He certainly had no idea who he was when he got to LSU.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy looks good. Yeah, good job, Steve. Yeah, that's a nice one. Keep building buildings. Do us all a favor.
Now, what have you heard about starting quarterbacks since Pickett's in this protocol? I mean, are we looking at a Trubisky game or?
He supposedly gets, you know, they're saying that it's Pickett's game to start unless he fails some protocol.
Now, how is that, though? Because isn't that fall under the same situation as Teddy Bridgewater?
They're not going to care. Yeah, but we cared about him not practicing till Thursday. I guess they don't.
So he won't have to wait till Thursday, you're saying, to be cleared?
Well, no, he may not be able to practice till Thursday. No, I think he can participate, but he can't do full practices until Thursday. But we cared about not having our quarterback practice. They didn't.
Which is kind of strange to me because Teddy Bridgewater is a veteran quarterback who's got many years in the league. Yeah. I would think that would be a lot less of a factor than a rookie quarterback who's – you know, basically just started.
Well, I agree with you. It was. I think it's the coach's decision at that point, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it really is. I don't think it's a league decision. I think that's how that goes. But I don't know.
So we won't know who's starting until he...
No, probably not. You know, I don't think they have to announce until, what, Saturday, right?
Yeah. I don't think so either.
And what does that mean anyway? I mean, they can play Trubisky for a couple sets and then bring another kid in too if he doesn't do well. You know, that he could be on a short leash that way too, you know?
Yeah. And so what does it mean as far as, I don't know if you – do you have any update on Skylar Thompson?
No, they really haven't said anything, but it didn't look like they stitched him. It just looked like it was painful. I don't think anything's broken. You know, I think it was just a nasty cut.
A nasty cut that didn't get stitched? Okay.
Yeah, like I don't think it was deep enough to stitch. It didn't look like it needed to be stitched, but it just looked like he was in agony with it. You know what I mean? Because he probably bruised it too on the guy's helmet. You know.
So do you anticipate he's the emergency starter or no? Wrench Stennett.
No, I would think that he's the third guy.
You would.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Okay.
By then, yeah, I think so. Oh, by the way, you said Needham tore his ACL. I heard it was his Achilles.
No, it's Achilles, I said.
You said ACL. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
As you said,
yeah.
You know,
remember
not
he
a
said
year,
that the way
a year.
It was like non-contact, yeah. And it was, you know, it just looked like something like that, you know?
So now that's a major injury
that's
for
crazy
him.
How that went on that, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't see
absolutely.
That on grass, you know, like that.
Well,
you kind of
do. Marino
was on grass too,
did
right?
it on grass.
Yeah,
of course.
Grass,
yeah.
I guess.
I mean,
I guess when it's gonna go, it
when
it's gonna
go, it's
gonna
go.
Torn anyway, it's gonna go. You know.
And on that
I
note,
like,
my friend. Yeah.
We go now.
And here we go now. So we'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll have some good news on the Dolphin front. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Took a look down a westbound road, right away I made my choice. Headed out to my big two-wheeler, I was tired of my own boy. Took a beat on the northern plains and just rolled that power on. $12 out of Mackinac City, stopped at a bar to have a brew. Met a girl and we had a few drinks and I told her what I decided to do. She looked out the window a long, long moment, then she looked into my eyes. She didn't have to say a thing.